Hello and welcome to Zing Talk, where Ben Zynga brings you the biggest names and brightest minds from New York City all the way to Silicon Valley. Today, we're going to hear from Ben Zynga tech and social media reporter, Laura Hobasco. She recently caught up with Avi Savar, founder and CEO of Big Fuel Communications.
How you doing today, Avi?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much.
Great. Glad to hear it. Could you start us off by giving our listeners some background information on your career, how you got your start in the marketing world, and the founding of Big Fuel?
Sure. So I'll give you the medium version rather than the long, drawn-out version.
Sure.
I've actually never worked in an advertising agency other than the one that I started 7 years ago. My background actually is in entertainment. My entire professional career up until starting Big Fuel, I was a TV producer. I used to produce programming for MTV and VH1. Before that, I was an entertainment producer at Good Morning America. And I've pretty much spent my whole life, professional career at least, kind of telling stories, making people laugh and making people cry and engaging with audiences through storytelling. And I think that has been the basis of what Big Fuel has kind of become and evolved to. And through the, you know, kind of evolution of the marketing landscape, in certainly in the digital world, through social media, the notion of engagement and telling really great stories and connecting with consumers is really what the company is kind of all about. So we started, I started the company 7 years ago, and this was, you know, before there was a YouTube, before there was, you know, a Facebook. I think at that time Facebook was still, you know, an experiment in a dorm room. And, you know, we started as a branded content agency, really working with brands and publishers to create branded content for the web. Within our first year, we probably produced about 100 to 150 webisodes before anybody, you know, even knew what a webisode was. And that kind of paved the way. Right place, right time. Social media became, you know, kind of the next big wave, and we were fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time along with it. And so, over you know the last 7 years, and certainly I'd say, really the moment in time where we shifted was probably about 3 years ago, and I think that's when social media became kind of really mainstream and kind of. You know, jumped to everybody's mind, and we repositioned the company. You know, branded content is still a big part of what we do and how we connect, but social media became the driver, and now we are, you know, one of the dominant agencies in the digital marketing world, helping big brands like McDonald's and General Motors and Colgate-Palmolive and Philips and a number of other big brands that we are kind of lucky enough to call our clients. And we continue to kind of pave the way and look at what's going on in the digital world and try to stay ahead of it and really kind of connect with consumers in the most relevant ways we can.
There's been a lot of attention recently on how, you know, dealing with Twitter and how we're kind of getting these quick snippets of information, how consumers' attention spans are dwindling. So in light of this kind of new type of consumer that's quickly bored, how do you go about maintaining that audience engagement once you have it?
Sure. I don't want to say that's the question to answer. It's definitely not, but I'll try to simplify it. For us, you know, it's about being relevant, right? And, you know, I always say that what we do is actually kind of the reverse of traditional advertising. Traditional advertising is based around telling product stories. You know, if you've ever taken a marketing class or if you've ever studied any type of marketing principles, you know, the basis of it is about, you know, identifying, you know, a unique selling proposition of your product or service. What is it that differentiates your product? You know, if I'm selling toothpaste, does my toothpaste have 20% more fluoride than the competition? If I'm selling a car, you know, do I have the most horsepower or am I the biggest truck in the market? What are the things that differentiate my product? And that's the basis for advertising. What we do, and I think in this new kind of on-demand world where consumers are actually in control, it's actually less about telling product stories and more about telling people stories. So it's about connecting with consumers in a kind of a relevant way and finding a point, we call it kind of the point of engagement, a point where product and people kind of connect with, you know, and so rather than leading with product stories, we as an agency lead with people stories, finding out what it is that people are talking about. What are the conversations they're having on Twitter? What are the things that they're posting? What groups are they fans of? And connecting with people in a way that is meaningful to them first and then to the brand second, rather than the other way around. And so I think if you can do that, then you become top of mind and people will talk about you and or at least pay attention to what you have to say.
That's very interesting. Can you give an example of a recent campaign you've worked on and, you know, how that exemplifies this idea of people stories?
Sure. So we did, I'll use an example. We did, a little over a year ago with one of our clients. So we do some work with Colgate-Palmolive. And we helped them launch a product called the Wisp. It's a mini disposable toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the first of its kind. If you've ever seen it, comes in a pack of four. Mm-hmm. The idea is to compete with gums and breath strips and mints, et cetera. And so, you know, in introducing this new, brand new product into the marketplace, the traditional advertising campaign, the 30-second commercial, the print advertising, the online banners, positioning of the product into the marketplace was based around this one concept that the traditional agency came up with to position the product. It was and the line was just brushed clean. Anytime, anywhere. So in one line, that is the product story. So that's the differentiator. That's the unique selling proposition. That's, you know, when you only have 30 seconds to tell a story for your product, that's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That in social media does not apply. People don't want a friend or follow a toothbrush. They don't want to have a relationship, you know, with a toothbrush.
Right.
So just brush clean anytime, anywhere is a good way to tell the product story. But in social media, it's not about that. So we had to come up with a way to connect the product to an audience
mm-hmm.
based on what's important to them. And so doing, you know, our research and going through our processes as an agency, you know, I'll kind of jump to the end and said, like, what we came up with and what we went into social marketplace with was this concept around something we call Be More Kissable, okay? And the idea isn't actually around kissing, but it was more about the fact that we saw in social media and specifically within this target audience that was, you know, young urban professionals. It's kind of like the target market we were asked to go after. In social media, it was about confidence, you know, people wanting to be at their best and figuring out whether it's getting ready for a job interview or whether it's getting ready to go out on a date. It was about, you know, for them, the people story that we attached ourselves to was this idea of self-confidence and always wanting to be at your best. And that really isn't necessarily about a toothbrush, nor is it about a product. So what we went to market with was was content and a marketing initiative that helped people be confident. And we called, you know, the line we used was Be More Kissable. And everybody wants to be more kissable, whether you walk into an interview or whether you're getting ready for an actual date.
True,
you
true.
Always want to be at your best.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, is a simple example of you know, our manifestation of just brush clean anytime, anywhere mm-hmm. into a social platform that we were able to kind of generate a tremendous amount of momentum behind through online videos, through photo sharing, through a contest that we held, through a Facebook application that we built that was all around this concept of being more kissable.
Hmm. You know, from what you're describing and from what I also saw on the Big Fuel website, you know, you guys aren't just a marketing company, but, you know, you're marketing, entertainment, and distribution. So what are some of the challenges and some of the upsides of being three companies rolled into one?
Sure. Well, we, you know, our model is really, you know, what we're trying to do as a company is provide our clients with kind of an end-to-end solution in social media. Okay, the world of social media, especially for big brands, is very complicated. It's evolving very, very rapidly. Every single day, we learn about new tools and new platforms, and so there's a lot for big brands to digest. And big brands tend to, you know, and rightfully so, they tend to move slower. They have to be smart about the decisions they make. So our model, you know, is those three components. It's about offering strategy and planning and insights. It's about creation of content and production and actually building assets. And then it's about distribution and making sure that the right people see those things, and all along the way providing, you know, what I call, what I tend to say is one throat to choke, so that a brand can pick up the phone and have one place to go. And whether it's about the tools that they're using to measure, or the tools that they're using to publish content, or the strategy that they're implementing, or the creative that's being built, there's got to be one place to go. And so, you know, when we walk into a big brand, that's a big part of our value proposition, is to say, hey, you know, you're a big brand. You don't want to have, you know, a relationship with 15 different companies doing 15 different things for you. You want to have a relationship with one company that can manage everything that's happening in this crazy place, you know, that is social media. And our job is to make sense of it and ensure that the brand is getting the right advice, is getting the right initiatives to drive their business objectives forward, and to make sure that their business mandates are being achieved. And so that's really the full service offering that we provide as a company. So it helps. And, you know, we tend to work with big brands. That's what we do. We understand how to navigate kind of big, complex organizations that require, you know, a lot of risk management, that require, you know, processes to drive, you know, governance and legal. Those are things that social media is still a little bit of kind of the Wild West, and we have to make sure to tame the horses, so to speak.
You know, just, you know, just looking over the past year, you know, couple years, social media just seems to be one of the most quickly changing and evolving industries right now. How does Big Fuel stay ahead of the game?
Sure, we have. That's actually, it's a great question, and it's something that we have to, as an organization, make a priority. And we have an unbelievable team that you know is responsible for evaluating platforms and partnering with different companies. You know, we tend to you know, I like to say we're platform agnostic. So we use every platform that is you know in the market if it's right for our clients, and every client has different needs. So for you know for example, social listening and social intelligence, there's probably 30 different tools that you can use to monitor conversations and to do insights. And depending on what kind of a brand you are and what your goals are, different tools tend to make sense for different types of initiatives. So it is our job to kind of evaluate all of those tools and all of those partnerships and provide, you know, again, our clients with a baseline of information and best practices so that we're making the right decisions for them. So we have a team in-house that we call kind of our network services team. Those guys are responsible for making sure that we're kind of managing and evaluating enterprise platforms, you know, across the digital landscape, so that we understand exactly what these platforms do. Every week we have, you know, vendors and partners come in and demo the latest and the greatest. And a big part of our job is making sure that we're on, you know, on the, you know, not just on the leading edge, but I like to say kind of on the bleeding edge of technology.
What about you as an individual? What resources and tools do you rely on, in terms of, you know, running your business and, you know, how you've, you know, kind of get your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the internet and business world?
Sure. I mean, you know, that's a bit, it's probably the hardest part of the job is, you know, as a kind of the founding partner and you know, one of three executives that run the organization. I have two partners who are phenomenal. A gentleman by the name of Mike McGraw, who is our chief operating officer, and our newest executive member is a legend in the advertising and marketing business by the name of Don Bond, who started Kirschenbaum and Bond and Partners about a decade or so ago, and grew that to you know, the to becoming the largest independent advertising agency in the world. So these are some very smart folks that I get to call my friends and my partners, and we work very hard to kind of slice and dice our responsibilities. And in terms of staying ahead of the curve, you know, it's about terrific relationships and being at the right conferences and, you know, publishing. I do a lot of speaking, you know, write a fair amount and do, you know, thought leadership as much as I possibly can. And then just by the nature of what we do and who we are as an agency, you know, we surround ourselves with the newest and the greatest and people, thankfully, and I'm grateful for it because we've built a reputation for ourselves. You know, people seek us out. And so we get the benefit of, you know, having a lot of great brands that we represent. And so just by the nature of who we are, a lot of this stuff tends to now find us. And it's really our job to kind of evaluate it all because there's a lot of clutter and a lot of noise in the marketplace. So, you know, the hardest part is just making sense of it all. And so it's about surrounding yourself with the right people and the right tools to do the job and then making smart decisions.
Interesting. Good to know. So mobile devices now are just dominating so many aspects of, you know, consumers' lives. So how is Big Fuel getting in on the action and making itself relevant in the mobile sphere?
Sure. You know, mobile is a big part of connecting to consumers. And you can leverage mobile in a lot of different ways, you know, whether it's about providing utility or whether it's about providing a, you know, communication or a platform for communication. You know, I look at mobile, and this is, you know, one man's view. We have an emerging technology and innovation group at Big Fuel that, you know, is responsible for kind of evaluating the landscape. But for me, my personal view on mobile is it's a bridge. Mobile is for us a bridge to the offline world. We can do a lot of things in social media. We can do a lot of things in digital that tell really great stories. And what mobile allows us to do is it allows us to be, you know, kind of with the consumer at any given time and connect them to activity, connect them to the things that people do on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, whether that's about tapping into the kind of new hyper-local trend to provide context to what a consumer is doing on a day-to-day basis, you know, because a consumer who lives in New York, in Manhattan, is very different and has different needs than a consumer who, say, lives, you know, in Detroit or in Ohio. And so understanding where people are and what they're doing and how to make their lives better is a great way for us to use and leverage mobile because it provides you know, a kind of a point of contact and it, and again it is a bridge from offline to online and online back to offline into that behavior the better.
And you mentioned earlier that, you know, different companies have different needs in terms of social media, but you know, do you have an opinion as to what you've noticed has been the most effective or most valuable social media tool among, like, Facebook, Twitter, blogging, et cetera?
I don't want to dance around the question, but it really depends on what you want to try to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Twitter is a very different platform than Facebook, and obviously YouTube is a very different platform than Twitter. So understanding what the objectives are, and it's not to say that a brand absolutely must unequivocally have a presence on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, you know, the big three. But, you know, if you're a big brand, you probably do need to have, you know, your basis covered. And what you do within those channels is really up to what you're trying to do as a brand and what the goals are and what kind of content you want to invest in and how much time and resources you have to manage those channels. So, you know, it really does depend. You know, we have clients that we work with that want and are looking to create deep and longstanding relationships and are willing to invest in the time and the resources necessary. And so that's a very different proposition than other clients who we have who just want awareness and really are not looking to invest, at least yet, in long-term relationships, you know, in social. So it's very different. And so I would say there are different publishing platforms. There are different social CRM platforms that help brands manage day-to-day interactions with consumers in social media. And so it's all about what you want out of a relationship with them and how deep you want to get. You know, you can have a lot of thin relationships with a lot of consumers. You can have few deep relationships with consumers. Again, it kind of all depends on what you're trying to accomplish and what your product or your service is and what kind of an investment and how much resources you're willing to put into social. Because social, different from any other medium, is it never shuts off. But it's not like you can, you know, spend a certain fixed amount of money on a 30-second piece of video or a print ad and let it run and then turn it off whenever you want. Mm-hmm. If you're getting into the social media game, you know, it requires what we call kind of an always-on mentality. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to get into it, it's a commitment. You know, it's more like a marriage than anything else, and you have to commit to the plan, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, and we have different brands who have different agendas.
All right, that was Ben Zynga's Laura Hobasco talking to Avi Savar, founder and CEO of Big Fuel Communications.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Be sure to subscribe in iTunes. You can find a link to do that right off of the Ben Zynga homepage. The music that you're listening to is Beethoven Virus by Vanya and is available on the Internet Archive. All Ben Zynga podcasts are released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.5 license, and all other rights are reserved.